You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
For our first weekly catch-up since his resignation, I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw about his decision to leave politics, his experience at Waitangi, and their opposition to New Zealand deploying a NZDF team to the Red Sea. Here is that interview. First of all, I want to talk to you about your resignation. So why was now the right time for you to step down?
Well, when I first ran for the Green Party co-leadership in 2015, I said that I wanted to take the Green Party into government for the first time and then safely out the other side. Because at that point, no support party had ever been a part of a government and survived the experience. It all ended up kind of getting demolished by it. And so, you know, whilst I was working pretty hard on getting a third term in government, I was very proud that we, you know, finished the election with more Green MPs than we'd ever had before. So we've done two terms and increased our support, and we've got a fantastic, diverse, brilliant group of people. I'm really, really excited about it. And I felt like, you know, my job is done and it's time for a new generation to take over.
You've received high praise from MPs, current and former, all across the political spectrum, including former National Party leader Todd Muller, who called you his friend. Can you tell me about your approach to working with people in Parliament with different political ideologies from you, and if you think that it was successful?
Yeah, look, I've been very flattered by, you know, some of the things people have said over the course of the last week. And politics is a funny business. I think if you go into it with, you know, dignity and respect for other people and upholding their dignity and openness to try and find common ground, people respond positively. And Todd and I come from very different backgrounds. You know, he's a conservative Catholic from Tauranga. I'm obviously a greenie from Wellington. We're kind of quite different, but we actually did become very good friends as a result of that. And he's a tough negotiator, on behalf of his party. But I think we really earned a very deep respect for each other during the course of that work. And I really hope that we can do more of that in this country, because, you know, the Zero Carbon Act has survived the first acid test, which is a change of government. And, you know, you've got a government that's busy repealing kind of everything else, right? They've repealed their pay agreements. They've got rid of the clean car discount. They're going to water down the things around water quality and all sorts of other things. And yet they've held on to the Zero Carbon Act and they've kept the institution of the Climate Change Commission. They've kept the targets. And they've made it very clear that they're committed to those things. And they're going to have to work out a way to hit those targets. And that, to me, says, well, actually, that approach did work, and it is working, because we've created something together that is lasting beyond a change of government, and it has to survive multiple changes of government over the coming decades.
The Prime Minister called you the Greens' last real environmentalist. What do you think about this claim?
Look, it's just a dig, and it's so obviously not true. Our caucus is full of environmentalists, including, you know, if you look, for example, at, you know, Steve Abel, who has come from a 25-year background at Greenpeace. You've got Lan Pham, who's a freshwater biologist, served on Environment Canterbury for a couple of terms. You've got people there who have got very, very strong backgrounds. You know, Celia Wade Brown is on the has been on the board of Predator Free Wellington. We've got people there who run kind of waste management networks up and down the country. Kahurangi Carter's, that was her job before she came to Parliament. So, you know, it's just patently not borne out by the evidence.
I want to talk to you about Waitangi as well. Can you tell our listeners about your experience yesterday?
Well, I mean, I love it, and Waitangi day and the days leading up to it have been the highlight of the political calendar for me. So I said, actually during my resignation speech last week, that this job has been the privilege of my lifetime. And the privilege of the job has been to come to Waitangi and to participate in this sort of annual reflection on who we are as a country, where we've come from, where we're going. And despite kind of the present tensions, which, you know, were very, very kind of present around Waitangi Day and in the lead up to it, the day still managed to be, I think, really positive and really very much about unity. And the dawn service had a different feel to it from previous years. It actually felt even more about that than I have noticed previously.
We saw thousands gather at Waitangi to voice their concerns about the new government's proposed policies. It was the largest hikui protest in modern history at Waitangi. Can you tell us what the Green Party's message is to those concerned?
Well, we are hoping that the government is able to hear the concerns that people have got. And it's not just, you know, David Seymour's Treaty Principles Bill, which there is no appetite for. And, you know, you can see both National and New Zealand First are hugely embarrassed by it, deeply uncomfortable and can't wait for it to die. But there's also other things like, you know, rescinding the Māori Health Authority, which, you know, when you look at the by Māori, for Māori approach in recent years, it's actually been delivering better health services for Māori than we had previously. And the idea that they would just kind of rescind that, you know, is a real backward step. And so it's just so unnecessary. And you know, we're kind of hoping that they will be kind of high-minded enough to reverse themselves on those things. And so it has been really important for their kind of strength of that message to be coming through here at Waitangi.
And the Prime Minister has also faced some criticism for his speech at Waitangi, as it appears it was pulled, a large chunk of it was pulled from his speech at Waitangi last year. And yeah, people in attendance have also described his speech as dull, boring and sort of lacking any substance, which is not what you want. So what do you think about his address, and is it reasonable for him to be reusing material in this circumstance?
Well, I mean, I think that sort of misses the point, actually. I mean, politicians repeat their messaging over and over again, you know, and you could argue that a better speechwriter would have, you know, managed to say the same thing but using slightly different words. But that's not actually the issue here. I think the real issue is that when he spoke, he didn't really address the concerns that had been raised in front of him. And he just sort of, I think one of the Māori leaders said, you know, it just feels like we're talking past each other. So, you know, he got up and delivered his kind of vision, which is fine. But the whole point of the pōwhiri is that you hear what the people on the other side are saying and you respond to that in some way. And I think that seemed to be missing. And there was a number of people from Ngāpuhi and other Māori leaders who were sort of saying, well, it didn't feel like any of the concerns they were raising were addressed.
And I just lastly want to ask you about the government deploying New Zealand Defence Force staff to the Red Sea and them also supporting retaliatory strikes against the Iran-aligned Houthi rebels who are attacking Israeli-linked commercial vessels. The Green Party has opposed this move from our government. Why is this particularly concerning to you?
Well, we're worried that this is a really naive move by the government, where they want to be seen to be kind of tough and, you know, working alongside our traditional allies like the United States. But I think on two fronts, it feels naive in the sense that when the government said that they were going to do it, they said, well, this is all about stopping piracy, which is okay, fine. but they're not placing that in the context of the wider war that's going on in Gaza and the kind of larger geopolitical context. And we're really worried that, you know, there's a great risk that war is going to spread into a wider conflagration that could draw in other countries like Iran and others. And then we're just involved in another kind of foreign war, when actually what we should be doing is working for peace. You know, that actually the way to kind of de-escalate these things is for there to be a ceasefire in Gaza and to work towards a proper two-state solution for Israel and Palestine to coexist peacefully alongside each other and to kind of remove all of those tensions. And until that happens, you know, there is a great risk over and over again that we're going to see more and more of this kind of conflicts, and New Zealand's going to go from, you know, having kind of six of our service people involved in an anti-piracy thing to a much larger war.
That was Green Party co-leader James Shaw on his resignation, Waitangi, and the government's decision to back strikes against Houthi rebels who are targeting Israeli-linked commercial vessels.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.